Okay, good morning everybody. Basically, we'll talk to you a little bit about Possum and really about the work we did in Afghanistan supporting a couple of ISAF plans in from 2011 onwards. Possum, peace support operations model, I'm going to refer to it colloquially as Possum as I go through the presentation. The image to the bottom right was a gift from the US in 2007 that said, hey, why don't you use this as your trademark for Possum, and we stuck with it ever since. I'll let you make your own judge of character, whether it's a good present or not from the US. Peace operations model is supported by a multidisciplinary team across DSTL. We're quite lucky at DSTL to have a cross group of different kind of expertise from computer science to human factors specialists. And we are able to reach out to a number of expertise outside, and I'll talk more about those later on in the presentation. But we basically developed quite a long track record of doing this kind of work. And the story I'd like to relate today, and really the entire focus of the briefing, really begins and starts in October 2009 with the team using Possum to underpin a planning war game for the NATO headquarters Allied Rapid Reaction Corps based in Germany. This enabled the team at the headquarters basically to refine their plan for a major exercise known as Arcade Fusion. It's a major two-week exercise, and we're there to support the deliberate war game just before it. Successful use of Possum for this NATO headquarters paved the way to deploy the DSTL Possum team to Afghanistan twice in 2011. The headquarters ARC personnel were part of that early pre-deployment training. They actually took over headquarters IJC in Afghanistan. And they recognized when they were out there that actually the model and the experience they had from Arcade Fusion could actually really, really help them with their campaign planning in Afghanistan. And that's really where the ball started rolling and then basically them approaching us to say, could you come out to theater and do this work? We are able, due to the passage of time, to really talk about this example and give you some example outputs. I mean, obviously, the work we did was classified, but this is the unclassified version. And I think, really, during both deployments, what's quite important, especially given the comments that I made yesterday about supporting direct decision makers, when we went out to theatre, we worked directly alongside the key personnel from International Security Assistance Force, which I'll refer to as ISAF throughout the presentation, which included their senior US and Afghan decision makers. And quite different from our own normal work environment, we did all this, shaping the conduct of a real war in a dining hall in a war zone in Kabul. So it's quite an interesting experience for all of us that went out there. So, fuzzy edges and problems. This is a really interesting slide, and I'm just going to put up this to describe Afghanistan and the problem. Because really the core requirement of our task was to provide a way to assess the progress of the future military operations and civilian-led activity across the complex conflict environment in Afghanistan. The breadth and depth of this challenge is really kind of shown and quite captured quite well with this slide here, which is basically done by General David Petraeus, and it's his Anaconda strategy. It's also really known as the counterinsurgency donut, and really if you just look at the inside, basically, you basically are the eight basic needs of an insurgency to succeed, and around them are the seven ways in which foreign and Afghan forces can aim to deny them. And that really kind of just sums up the absolute problem. But really the bottom line, and I think really talks more about this topic really, is that these kinds of wars are complicated and many factors matter, not just the military ones, and all have a bearing on the outcomes. So in terms of us, in terms of the key requirement of any analysis approach we're going to apply in this space, it had to cover the whole country, all the relevant actors, the good, the bad, the ones that were sitting on the middle of the fence, and the civilian population. And lastly, the approach had to bring together all the key foreign and Afghan stakeholders together to undertake a meaningful assessment of the way things were going, and from that, make decisions on what to do next. It was no easy task. Very, very briefly, and I mean, most of you might not be aware of how the headquarters and how it works in Afghanistan. This is our customer was the ISAF Joint Command. And just to give you some kind of background, when we did the work, we actually served two COM ISAFs. We were out there originally and supporting General David Petraeus, known as P4, sitting in the four-star headquarters. And then it was later then moved over to General Allen, known as A4. And within IJC itself, we served two IJCs, due to the respective changing commands out there. We have our first one was General David Rodriguez, known as R3, and later General Curtis Scaparotti, known as S3. IJC, basically, as I put the line down there, is the operational headquarters really responsible for everything within Afghanistan. And ISAF headquarters is there, the outward looking, that's what the strategic headquarters. So in our game, our customers, if you like. We're looking at a 4-star, 3-star, and then down to 2-star, the regional commands, and that will come more apparent as I go through the presentation when I talk about the war game process. So, why us? Why DSTL? Why many in DSTL do deploy and support current operations? Taking our large DSTL team to an overseas war zone, which in this case was taking deploying up to 16 UK analysts, and that included Howard and Paul, that was in the audience here today for the March event, was an unusual step, even for an organisation that's accustomed to delivering direct support to the front line. So there's only one key reason why this approach was taken. The statement that you can read there was a requirement given to us by one of the lead UK planners in the ISAF Joint Command, and that's Colonel Gary Deacon. When we first learned we were going to go to Afghanistan to help assess and shape the way the war was being fought, he felt there was a real pressing need to introduce some external analytical rigour into the way senior military and civilian leaders at the highest levels were intending to bring the war to its conclusion by 2015. There's a real requirement, in his words, to take an objective look and test the conspiracy of optimism of how this is all supposed to work out. So, a little bit on Possum and how we could help. I mean, essentially, Possum is designed basically as a fairly unique modelling capability built to assess these types of problems. I don't go into too much technical detail of Possum, but I will explain how some of the things work and how things come into it. But in basic terms, Possum is a human-in-the-loop, computer-assisted war game, which, in addition to being quite a mouthful to pronounce, is essentially a large range of complex equations replicating a range of factors, from combat events to development activity and local population perceptions towards each of those. And it's all instantiated in computer software. But delivery of any Possum event is not just about good software. It also needs facilitation and analysis. And the key to the success of the event, and in terms of both the events that we delivered here and any event, I think, in terms of war game really, is fusing all these elements together, which effectively relies on a well-developed and highly choreographed battle rhythm put together. So, Possum started, if we go right back to the beginning to give you some background, was developed in response to the MOD mandate that we received in 2004, which really firstly to study and understand stabilisation operations. This is at a time when we were dealing with the post-Iraq invasion, so post-March 2003, and when we were considering our commitment to Afghanistan, which just started in 2001. And over the years, Possum has developed in parallel to the emerging doctrine at the time, such as the US Counterinsurgency Field Manual 324, authored by Petraeus, and more recently, the UK's Joint Doctrine Publication 340 on Security and Stabilisation, the Military Contribution. So Possum has been research-led and had been approximately about 7 years in development by the time we got to 2011. The one thing I will say, and I get asked this question a lot, Possum was not built specifically to examine Afghanistan, but wars and situations like it that are focused primarily on protecting populations and gaining their support, not defeating enemy forces. That's a very important point. So, how does Possum work? From the start, when we designed the model, it was designed to be population-centric, and that's absolutely key. Its core functions are representations of state functionality, security, population consent, and threat. And these are also the core metrics that the model provides. In essence, the model development on these lines rested on the assessment, selection, and modification of a range of social science theories, adopting essentially a consumerist approach, which at a very simplified level, balances rational population demand with the provision of economic goods, e.g. infrastructure and provision of healthcare, which can be termed social goods, for example, security or threat. As such, progress towards stability in Possum is measured by changes across these four core areas. And I'll talk a little bit more in detail about how this works. So, this is a very, very simplified version of the Possum system. I'll put the full screen up to show you how it works. But basically, everything starts at the top with player decision. And player decisions are essentially split into two levels. We've got strategic decisions, e.g. alliances with another player or faction, and operational, and how you basically are going to intend to carry out your strategic plans. Operational decisions within Possum broadly come down to assigning stances to the units you control and or influence. So set engineers to build a road, set your unit to train, mentor or partner another unit, and so on and so forth. And there's a fair range, there's approximately about 10 main stances you can choose from. And they are the main efforts that you're going to put over a turn step in Possum. Possum turn step is basically 1 month of activity. The stance can then can go down to a sub-stance kind of level, and then approximately you get then 60 further choices of what I mean, of from the main start. So you know, go out and do a patrol. What kind of patrol do you want to go and do? Soft patrol, etc., etc. But you've got a whole range of things you can do. Everything from left of arc, traditional military stances, to anything along the lines of doing extortion, trafficking, and so on and so forth, counter-transition activities. So that's the main effort in a player decision. Player decisions then goes into a number of feeds, and they're the kind of four main metrics just discussed earlier. So take one of those, state functionality. This represents local and national economies. There are three lines to this: palliative, physical, and human development. The population reacts to actions on these lines as well as other events. And it incorporates population perceptions and includes stuff like insurgency and criminal employment. There are a range of economic sectors represented, and it all just depends really on the country that you're particularly looking at, you know, power, water, education, and so on and so forth. The best way to think about it from a UK point of view is think about the FTSE 100 index and think about the sectors that are in there. Security then is another feed for down from population decision, and basically provides a freedom manoeuvre to achieve progress in governance and development. The model represents results of security provision and spoiler activity, and therefore the ability or inability of factions to achieve their aims and objectives. Essentially, really, in summary, security is really more about a perception of risk by death by a faction. It's got an international metric, which is death by 100,000 man years, and as I say, is an international standard. So think along those kind of lines for the security side. The next side then, so security and state functionality, you'll see from this diagram, feed into consent. So consent is a feed from those two areas, and it's the population perception towards factions. Now the factions are basically anyone that's in the environment that you're looking at, so governments, spoilers, coalition, NGOs, so on and so forth. It's the degree of voluntary support given by the population to a faction, and it's the relative, not absolute value that's important. And here really it's all about talking about looking at the trends over time. It's based upon marginal utility theory, but expanded beyond that traditional economic look. Consent links faction activity with population expectations and preferences to generate population reactions. As I said, a lot of POSM is a population-centric model. Okay, lastly, and probably more difficult metric to quickly cover, and I'm going to give a very short sentence on it, is threat. Threat is the population perception of the factions within the model environment. It's the degree of involuntary support given by the population to a particular faction. It can be thought really as the inverse of consent. And another way of looking at it or thinking about it really is coercion. I'll just give you the line of what we mean by coercion here. It's the use of force or the threat of force to persuade an opponent, you know, the individual, to adopt a certain pattern of behaviour against his wishes. So that's threat, and that's the main metrics. And all those things then feed down into the population, which then has to make a decision. That population then makes that decision, and then that feeds back into the economic side of the model, that's back up to state functionality, and then back into the player decision. So you as the player will then see then the outputs for those actions. So you've got to think about that, everybody doing this within the actual kind of war game. Okay, obviously building and refining POSM was a long progress, that's dictated here on the slide. And it really cannot be done without help, such as partnering with the US, which started in 2007, and also working with various academic establishments to discuss and evaluate the theoretical principles and approaches that we're going to put into the model. So we've had a lot of interesting discussions in designing and building the model. And this is just a summary of the progress to date and the progress to really what took us out to theatre in 2011. So, talking more on getting back to really the aim of the presentation here and the war game that we did in ISAF. Obviously, it talked about detailing the daily choreographed progress. Essentially, apart from the absolute challenges, you say, of detailing the modelling representation of the Afghan conflict, putting this together and doing this was actually also just as equal technical challenge in itself. We had about 100 players playing in the actual two war games that we did. That's a lot of people, and they're at a various different levels. So this is a very, very simple summary of the war game process. Breaks down to three parts. We have game planning. So here, looking at the strategic one, think that as your four-star headquarters, ISAF headquarters. So this is where your generals are taking part in the war game. That then feeds down to the operational side of things, which is basically for us, IJC, and the core customer for our work. Tactical planning at this point then is the regional commands. So it's a 4-3, two-star from a military point of view, and obviously then the equivalent for civilians. So your planners then come into that stage. The planners then work with the analysts, and we go into the game execution. So putting all that information into the model for that period of a turn length. Turn length in this case being one month. And then that then leads into an adjudication check. Very important to have an adjudication check in your war game process. Note the interesting use of timings here. This is the battle rhythm was running in theatre, and game execution they're starting at 8 o'clock in the evening and then having nice end of no actual time. And then having a nice morning start of 7:30, which then gets you into your game assessment phase. So basically it's taking then all the model outputs, crunching all the kind of data, and then actually putting in the so what and all that kind of work. So that's then working back with the planners, analysts briefing those, and then preparing a back brief, which has everybody back involved again, so bringing the generals back into the room to then make decisions, which then feeds the next cycle of the next planning round. And that's effectively what we did for 5 days continuous. And they were very long days. So, on to the events. First planning event, using POSSUM in March 2017, examined Operation OMID. Now, OMID means hope in Dari, and we looked at particularly there the plan for the Afghan solar year 1390, which started in March 2011. The first challenge of this event was getting there, trying to organise 16 civilian analysts, some of which are very civilian, with lots of computer equipment, some 20 plus classified laptops, which you see in the top right hand corner, on a journey spanning 6 countries to get there, and multiple modes of transport into an operational theatre of war was not a task for the faint-hearted. The event running in late March was entitled A Synchronisation of Efforts, Not a War Game. Very deliberate use there. This was in order to allow the military to invite representatives from the UN and other aid and non-government agencies for them to actually come to this game and actually take part. It was a 5-day event, and we had, for this first one, about 150 people come in, and about 100 of those were active planners, and they all flew in from the various different parts of Afghanistan. Again, a very difficult challenge getting those people in one spot for one time, just to get all those decision makers there. The aim of the event was to test the delivery of the summer fighting plan, so that was looking at effectively the summer 2011. So this next slide is a favourite one of mine. Kind of shows you how we kind of put it all together. I mean, those of you that saw me yesterday would have seen POSSUM on a laptop. That's really some of the outputs that you see there on the top right-hand corner. The trick to the war game process, though, was obviously having all these kind of people, military audience, civilian audience, to kind of have a look at the outputs. We couldn't just show them POSSUM. You know, they're unfamiliar with POSSUM. I just showed them something that they were familiar with. And a lot of effort went into basically then taking all the outputs from POSSUM, doing the analysis, and then putting it into exactly the same briefing slides that they received in theatre as part of the campaign process. So the only difference between our slides and the ones they get in real life was obviously the underlying data which was feeding them. Then of course, that then got fed into then those planning teams that you saw in the kind of execution kind of period, then to then do the so what analysis. And the bottom slide here just goes to show you one of my analysts from my team working alongside a full colonel, was head of one of the future plannings, and they're feeding to one of the two-star generals. In this case, it's the British general, who's actually the COS-IJC for the work, and talking through some of the decisions that happened in one of those terms. Working through this process over time identified key risks, opportunities, and decision points for the objectives and execution of the future campaign. This slide in front of you shows you General Karimi, Chief of the Afghan National Army, and the senior US commander, General Scaparotti, discussing one such issue during the daily war game briefing session, before determining the strategic direction to all the participants for the next day of activity. There are limitations on what I can show, but this slide is an example of the briefing products from the March war game and showing an overview of violent activity across the country, the red being the areas of worst affected. It reflects one way in the thousands of different model interactions across areas of security, development, population decisions can be presented. And what's important and why we have a computer-assisted approach here is that all those inputs go in, and what POSSUM can do is it can represent and analyse thousands of events in one single turn of POSSUM. So that's the powerful use of having a computer-assisted human-loop war game. It also gives you that testing dynamic context that's measurable, recordable, and repeatable, which is quite key when you want to try and do post-game analysis after the event. And POSSUM obviously can run month after month to visualise the trends and outcomes over time based on those player decisions coming in. And of course we can do this in an operational theatre with no troops being put at risk and no lives on the line. I think that's the most important point about doing this exercise. This first event gave IJC and RC planners confidence that the plan was going to work over the summer period and identified a number of key objectives and opportunities and risks that needed to go and address before instantiating that plan. Here you can see General Rodriguez, basically the US general in command of IJC and of the operations of Afghanistan, being taken through some of the findings. The interesting sideline to this slide is I was told, don't show the general anything, it's got loads of colours on it, he's colourblind, it doesn't like analysts and it doesn't like details. And we were there about 11 o'clock in the evening. The general came in. He came in a number of times throughout the day, then plonked himself, sat down in front of one of our daily briefings that's going on to the Possum team, and started looking at the screen and taking it all in and asking lots of very informative questions. And you know, and he got really good feedback. I won't give you the exact quote. If you can ask Howard for the exact quote of what he thought of the process, he can tell you. But I mean, that was quite unexpected. And I hadn't seen the general that involved in the work that we were doing. So he went around all the playing teams and he spent quite a good amount of time talking to us, the analysts, and understanding exactly what was going on. I'll give you kind of examples of some of the impacts that we've kind of looked at in an unclassified kind of environment here. One area was basically looking at the kind of regional command seams, and basically each RC was focused on specific activities in its area. So here you can see where the arrows kind of pointed between RC South and RC South East. And then basically there's actually gaps between the overlaps between those RCs. So basically there was like, well, how do we deal with the gaps? Because obviously we've only got a certain amount of resource in each RC. And actually what you could do, what we did in theatre there basically was actually the war game highlighting these types of problems. And we could then provide a means of basically initiating its resolution. As all the people that needed to make the decision were all there in the room. So both the RCs could get together, talk through the problems, and then work out how to change their plan. So they could basically get a comm plan to mitigate these such issues. So that's one example that could be done. Other decisions, allocation of theatre level assets owned by IJC to regional commands throughout the summer fights. Not just where demand is greatest, but where there will be the most challenges, not necessarily driven by enemy threats, but by a lack of ISAF combat power. And the war game provided that formal opportunity for each regional focused planning team to expose such issues through the gameplay and then get a resolution and guidance direct from the chain of command. So it's a long way of saying probably getting the buy-in for the OA support to planning a real war as it happened. Going on to the second event then, Op Norweid. Norweid means good news in Diary, and it was very, very different to the March event. So totally different war game, requiring a subtly different war game and approach. The main ones were really, we looked at a summer campaign plan in the OMID task, and we had a campaign plan written for it. We're now being tasked to look at a much longer duration of time, a considerable increase in duration of time, and the plan wasn't written. So we're there to basically inform and help write that plan through the use of wargaming, so then kind of think about the things to kind of look at. And there were three key issues to look at that I can tell you. So draw down the foreign forces, transition to Afghan National Security Forces, and at the end of coalition combat operations. They were the main questions that we were tasked with looking at. Now, I'm always a fan when looking at war games, war game design, you design them around the questions that you've been asked. So, this slide here gives you an idea of showing how we transitioned our war game reporting for the November event from visualising what was happening on the ground to present it and what it meant for the mission in the daily briefings. This key shift in the second event focused the team on using the information from the model to enable the military planning teams to identify where they were achieving their proposed mission and where they were not, and illuminating in the process some of the possible reasons why. So, will we achieve the plan, and where do we have to change our aspirations? As one illustration in terms of gaining through risks to the plan, well, we could also assess and also reassess the impact of significant, including spectacular events. Give you an example. This is the Afghan Taliban attack on the hotel near Kabul that happened in 2012. And what we could do in these circumstances is identifying what sort of circumstances might this actually occur and enable exploration of the potential short and long-term impact on key security objectives and population perceptions of security. So, examples of questions that we get asked then. So, in the game, in this particular spectacular attack, can we cope with that? What is the impact on the plan? Do we need to divert resources? And if we do divert resources, what's the impact elsewhere in the country? In post-game analysis then, we can obviously look at what Afghan forces have to face this alone, what support might they need, and how will this impact population perceptions. You can play a lot of different kind of tunes then in post-game analysis and report those findings back just after the war game. Okay, last slide. In terms of the impact, I'll let you read through the points that were made, and these all come from the excerpts from the ISAF Joint Command Exercise Summary. From my point of view, it's probably one of the most rewarding pieces of work I've done in my time with Possum over the six years. And that's where basically I'll leave this presentation.
Thank you very much, Tom. While the next speaker's getting ready, I can't resist telling you what General Rodriguez actually said. He walked around after that briefing, he stood over me because he's actually. quite tall, looks like a bit of a monster from those the television series. He stood over me and said, "Son," to me, "I've been here 18 effing months, and that's the first time I've understood what's actually going on." It's almost a direct quote.